Greetings, Dale and John here. Welcome you once again to GESPCU, the University of All Things Guaranteed Energy Savings Performance Contracting. This podcast is presented by the Energy Services Coalition and sponsored by the United States Department of Energy. In this episode, we want to focus our time together on a discussion of the closing out and acceptance of energy conservation measures within a performance contracting project.
One distinguishing attribute of performance contracting is that the energy conservation measures, or ECMs, are required to achieve their projected guaranteed savings. This means that it's critical to know when a measure's performance period begins. The performance period is that point in time when a measure has been fully completed and accepted by the owner, and its performance must begin to generate its guaranteed savings. And you can't know when to start keeping score until you know what must be accomplished to call a measure complete.
Well, exactly. So while there's never a time when we don't defer to each state or institution that has a program or documented plan, we thought it might prove helpful to walk through what we've witnessed as great practice for any project.
Well, along with the prescribed requirements that may have been a part of the project documents, like the request for proposals and contract documents, finalizing each measure, building up to the project implementation closeout, should follow a very well-defined plan, process, and sequence of operational events. Probably the most obvious is implementing the work that meets or exceeds the quality standards of the agency or institution, as defined in the scope of work and services. Throughout the installation and implementation process, owners and ESCOs typically are working together to review, inspect, and ensure that the owner is satisfied with the work being performed. When the ESCO and owner agree that the work is mostly fulfilled and the owner has beneficial use of a measure, a statement of substantial completion for the ECM should be offered for the parties to execute.
Spot on, John. But I feel like we'd be remiss if we didn't expand on a few of the additional considerations that come into play for substantial completion in real-life applications. Beneficial use should mean that the space is ready for occupation or reoccupation by the owner, and an acceptable level of operator and maintenance training has been provided for the measure. This should include how and where to acquire service or replacement parts should they be required. Often misunderstood is how warranties are applied. Questions such as, if the measure is under warranty, when does it begin? Does it start at the completion of the measure itself or at the time of final project acceptance? And how long is the warranty period? The owner should be fully instructed on how to obtain warranty service and who to contact. And most importantly, the owner should be provided a detailed list of maintenance and operational requirements to ensure that the warranty is not, for some reason, forfeited. For some measures, this may also include a number of replacement components that might be labeled attic stock. Attic stock, if you haven't heard that term before, is generally an agreed-upon quantity of replacement consumables delivered to the owner for on-site availability should they require replacement. One common example that many of us have lived through is a box or two of replacement fluorescent lamps that can be used to replace any premature burned out lamps.
Great point, Dale. And diving just a little deeper, this request to agree that a measure is substantially complete should also be accompanied by a punch list of items or issues that need additional attention, if any. For many projects, punch lists are developed during owner inspection of the work or perhaps during the commissioning of the measure. The ESCO, owner, or any other key stakeholders can add to it while it's being created. Punch lists should not be taken lightly and should receive dedicated focus by the owner and the ESCO. It remains the ESCO's responsibility to fully complete all punch list items for the owner's final acceptance of the measure. A defined effort and defined amount of time should be outlined for the creation and completion of all items on the punch list. What you're working to avoid is a lingering add-on forever list. The goal is to identify what must be achieved for the measure to be finally inspected, approved, and therefore finally complete.
Punch lists, however, are only valid and applicable if reached by mutual agreement and documented as full and complete. Real key here is that most construction contracts include the right to withhold a specified percentage of payment until all the items of the punch list have been completed correctly. So while progress payments may have been issued as work is completed and approved, a final or retained amount is likely to be held back until all punch list items have been satisfactorily resolved. Other considerations that must be addressed are things like when legal title to the improvement and therefore insurance coverage for the device or system transfers to the owner, and as implied before, when the actual warranty period clock begins. It's critical to have all these details well documented to avoid disputes and confusion should there ever be a concern.
So, assuming the work has been completed, a punch list created and signed off on is complete with all the accompanying considerations regarding title, service resources, training, and warranty, only one unattended detail remains. As they say, the job's not over until the paperwork's finished. Accepting a measure or a project as complete and final should never occur without having received all the associated paperwork as outlined in the contract. This may include as-built documents, owner and maintenance manuals, and additionally should include certificate of substantial completion, completed punch list, inspection certificates, lien waivers, and final pay applications. For many programs and projects, when the measure final completion has been executed is when the performance period for that measure begins.
So while in the typical comprehensive performance contract, there are a number of measures staged to be completed at different times, it's incumbent that these processes and attention to detail occur for each and every one of the measures as they are completed. Then and only then can the owner and the ESCO collectively look forward to the final implementation project closeout. Lingering unattended details or undelivered required documentation is the stuff bad memories are made of. And the way to avoid them is with careful forethought and planning about all these measure closeout details.
Well, while we briefly mentioned the term commissioning today as one means to add to a punch list, we'll have a deeper discussion of commissioning and we'll introduce post-construction measurement and verification in our next episode.
Thanks for joining us here at GESPCU. We're committed to helping you do everything in our power to help you have a great performance contracting experience. That's all for now. GESPCU. See you next time.